something that I'm really strong with is connection, because relationships are connections and dancing's connection. And music is so wonderful, just the beat, the rhythm, and everything. I've talked to many people where they play in a band, but they don't dance. Do you dance?
My wife would say no.
She's probably a pretty good judge.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. You play in a band, so we need the band in order to dance, so I think it's all good. So I was driving from San Diego, and I called my daughter, and I said to my daughter, so how is it going? Because she's going through some struggles right now. Mm. And me being her mother, I hurt for her. Mm. So I'm getting emotional already, and I don't want to do that.
Oh,
so anyway, so we're driving, I'm driving, and she's talking to me about me, you know, as her mother, and difficult things that go on in our relationships. And she told me some things that really hurt me. And it hurt me because I've tried so hard to be a good mom, you know? And I think we do try. We try hard to do it. And we don't learn how to be a good mother in school. I wish there was Mother 101, but there isn't. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to be consistent in my parenting and read the books and do the right things. And I still feel like I'm falling short. And in telling you this before we got on the air, you kind of stopped me mid-tracks because you said, wait a minute. What did you say to me?
Well, what I said was, I'm sure it was painful because you care about your daughter and nobody likes to hear, like, negative news. But I was thinking how cool it was, Sue, that you've raised a gal who's now a young woman who feels safe enough with you to shoot straight about concerns she has about you, like, you know, faithful to the wounds of a friend. What you're saying really is that you were such a good mom to her that she feels like I can talk to mom about truth and love at the same time. And I thought it wasn't a bad, I mean, I would not say it wasn't painful, but I thought it was a great testimony, not only to your daughter's maturity, but also to you as a great mom.
Right. I was talking. Thank you very much for that, because that was really reassuring for me. I was talking to her also about conflict, because I used to, you know, have a Bible study in my home, and one of the main issues we had was with most people is dealing healthy with resolving of conflicts. You know, dealing with it, like, you know, some people will lash out, some people give the silent treatment, some people, you know, they have different ways of dealing with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And the real healthy thing is that we have to communicate what our issues are with the other person, because you can't solve anything. First of all, nobody can read your mind. And yeah, we can read your, you know, how you're acting, but sometimes we're trying to put it all together where it would be so much easier if everybody could just be, number one, honest with their own emotion, honest with what's going on internally with themselves, but also being able to verbalize that in a manner in which the other party can say, they can say how they're feeling, what they're thinking, and then the other person can say, you know, I accept that, I don't accept that, or gee, I wasn't feeling that way at all. And then we can move forward, right, to come to a resolve or to try to make it better.
Yeah. You know the Proverbs tell us in chapter 20, it says that a person's heart are like deep waters, and a person of understanding draws them out. And you really can't say, you really can't explain a problem if it's a love problem or a money problem or a foreclosure problem or a health problem. You can't talk to a person about the problem until you both join each other out well enough to know what the issue is. You know, and this is such a, you know, a man-woman thing too, Sue. You know, how many times has it happened that, like, a wife will come home and her husband will come home and she'll say, you know, it was horrible and the traffic was bad and the kids were nuts and I didn't like my job. And he'll say, well, why don't you start jogging and working out more, you know.
Oh, ow.
And he won't really hear the deeper issue. So one of the biggest part of talking about a problem is getting to the real issue before you even start having solutions.
Right. And sometimes that's painful, right? It's painful.
Sometimes it's painful, but what I've found is that digging and getting painful like that, and it's not always painful, but if you take the time to kind of restrain that anxiety that all of us who are fixers have, because a lot of us are fixers. We want to have people feel good and get answers and find good things, and we don't really hear the problem, but if you'll just restrain that anxiety, because it's really our own anxiety about our own internal issues, and if you just put that on the back burner and say, I'm going to keep digging into what this person's saying, you'll find a great, phenomenal answer.
Right. Listen, if you're just tuning in right now, I'm supposed to tell you that you're listening to the Sue Freeze Show on 99.5 KKLA, Intersection of Faith and Reason. So, John, here we go. And you've just written a new book. And this new book, I'm really excited about learning about and reading it. What are the types of problems people deal with that they can't find solutions for? Is there really problems that we can't find solutions for?
Well, I believe that ever since Adam and Eve first started their own problem with eating from the wrong fruit and all that, I believe that life has lots of problems that are either what we call chronic, which means long-standing problems that aren't really urgent, that don't go away, like a relationship that's really south and really unfulfilling and a lot of alienation and disconnection. That's a chronic problem. Or we have what we call urgent problems, like I just lost my job, I got to hit the streets, or I've got a kid on drugs, that sort of thing. So ever since we've had people, Sue, we've all had problems. So the book is called Now What Do I Do, meaning, you know, we need an approach to say, whatever the problem is, if it's money or relationship or family or I can't find a date or whatever, is there a way to find, you know, solution, just a system to put a problem into the hopper and see if a solution comes out the bottom?
And Christians will say, pray more, work on forgiveness, maybe you're just not being Christian enough.
And sometimes that is the case. The problem with that approach is there's an old I think it's a Buddhist proverb which says, beware the person whose only tool is a hammer, for every problem is a nail.
Oh.
Have you ever had a love problem, relationship problem, or a money problem, or a spiritual problem, or a family problem, and you went to somebody who had the same answer for everything? You know, my husband and I aren't getting along. Well, pray more. Okay, scratch that off. My kids, you know, got a bad attitude. Well, pray more. Okay.
Right.
Or, you know, my job just took a turn. Well, pray more. Well, that person's saying every problem is a nail. It doesn't mean that prayer isn't important. Prayer is, you know, a total necessity in every issue. But every problem has different solutions to it. And so you want to be able to address the complexity that the Bible talks about. It's more than just pray. There's a lot of things involved in effective problem solving. So, you know, for one thing is, since you've got kind of an open line show, we might have people coming down the pike or driving who are going, yeah, I've got a marriage issue, or I've got a dating problem, or there's a financial thing, or I've got a health issue or an emotional issue, I've got a kid who's struggling. Whatever the problem is, God has solutions for it.
Right. There's scriptures to back it up. But still, you do need to get to the real root of what the problem is. And that brings up a good point, John, because this is my first live show, and it's amazing that I'm with you, and there's a history there that I'd like to talk about. But if there is somebody that would like to talk to you or talk to me, the phone number for that would be 866-995-5552. So if you are listening and you do want to talk to John, or you want to talk to me or both of us, then please dial in and we'll try to get you on the air.
Say the number again, sir.
Okay, the number is 866-995-5552, which is KKLA, but BlackBerry users, you've got to have the numbers.
Now there you go. This is cool. What if a person is the first caller ever on the history of this show, and the show goes national and worldwide, and it's on for 30 years, and that person can forever say, I was the first person on Sue's show. So start lining up and start burning those phone lines.
Wow, thank you very much for that, John.
Very first person on Sue's live show.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. That's great. You know what? I can remember way back when, you know, because I've been married 30 years right now. That's where I'm at right now, is 30 years and two kids. And we've had struggles, you know. It hasn't been hunky-dory. And going to counselors, I would always say to the counselor, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And sometimes the counselor, you know, would say, pray more. Sometimes they would say it's a respect issue or it's a submission issue. Submission was another big one for me because, you know, I didn't learn submission when I was growing up, as far as watching it in my family hold. So dysfunctional families are out there, and so we don't have that to learn from, other than maybe what we don't want to do, which is learning. I guess we learn from everything, but sometimes they're not the best lessons. But So for me, I was looking at submission, and I was thinking, you know what? Submission is not a doormat, though. It means submission. And Ephesians 5 talks about submission, and it says, you know, that the wife is to submit to the husband. But also it says we're to submit one to another, which means that we need to be serving one another. And that's what it says in Scripture also. And so that was a real issue for me, was the submission thing, because... And it's a boundary thing, isn't it, with submission, is there's a boundary thing, because somebody can't take advantage of a situation with submission. They've got to take your interest at heart also, so that you guys can work together for the common good of my daughter. She suggested that my husband and I go to a Bible study. It was actually a class in a school that she was going to, and we could participate in this class. And we went, and something that I always knew but never said this way is that marriage is a mission field. And that we are together in a mission. So we need to know what the mission is, and we need to know what the vision is, in order to know that we're reaching the target or the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing about... being able to understand marriage that way is that it's really cool to hear you guys talk about your daughter and Bible studies and counseling, because I think the more Christians feel safe to know that talking about problems and bringing them in the light and finding wise people and going to places where struggle is seen as normal, then they're going to be healthier. You know, the book of Ephesians talks about living in the light. It says, live as children in the light. Don't live in darkness. And when Christians feel like, you know, I can't talk about struggles because it shows that I don't have faith, or they feel sort of like protective toward God, or they don't want to get a lot of criticism, then they're not living in the light. And what you're kind of showing on how you dictate how you're handling your marriage and your life, Sue, is that this is the way the body should operate. This is how we get well. It's like we've all got a sickness called sin and brokenness. And so the more we live in the light and talk about these things, the better the body gets.
You're listening today to The Sue Freeze Show. I'm Sue Freeze, and our guest today is John Townsend. It's 99.5 KKLA, the intersection of faith and reason. If you'd like to dial in right now and listen and talk with us, the phone number again is 866-995-5552. John, it's reassuring, and that's my word for today. I have a word every show, and my word for today is reassure, and you are reassuring me that maybe I am doing a little bit right. But I do have a struggle, because I always try to be better. You know, I'm striving for excellence, not perfection, but excellence in all things. I run a company, and I have employees that depend on me to make right decisions, and I feel like I'm doing somewhat of a good job, but, you know, I'm always looking for, okay, what could I do better? And, you know, this radio show is a whole new endeavor for me. And just to talk about that just a little bit is that you kind of, you know, we talked a little bit about that. I listened to you on the radio a lot when my kids were growing up. But recently, you reappeared in my life. I sponsored an event, and you were the speaker, and I got to sit at your table, and I asked you for 5 minutes. You gave me an hour, and I just thank you so much for that. I thank you for giving me that hour, John. It was so wonderful. My stepfather had just died, and you actually teared up for me and my feelings. And to have a man that's not sympathetic, but empathetic, and you felt my pain with me, and it was so wonderful to experience that with you that I just have to say thank you. I don't think we say thank you enough, and I just want to say thank you for that. But then from there, what happened was I went to another business leaders conference, and I didn't know you were going to be the speaker there, but I was front and center, and there you were. And you were talking about things, and I was rooming with two other women that are also business leaders, one's in ministry and one's a business leader. And they got something completely different than I did from what you said. And I felt that was amazing. And we were all evolving and learning, but we all got something different. And I pulled you aside because it was just amazing how God was working at that time. And you said to me, I said, well, what is going on? What do you think is going on right now with me? And you said to me, Sue, you're in a sweet spot. You're in a sweet place. And I'm like, it doesn't feel sweet to me. It just doesn't feel sweet. And then in the next breath, I said, well, what do you think? And you said to me at that time, you said, I think God is preparing you for a bigger ministry. And I thought, wow, like my hands weren't full already. And because I feel like my business and my employees is my ministry. And I had to pull away from the church a little bit just because I had all these other things to do. And a week later, KKLA calls me and asks me to go to lunch and says, how would you like to have a radio show? And I was in shock. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? And they said, no, we really are serious. And it was just a week after you told me that. And then here, it's amazing how God works. You know, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that's when God decides to stay anonymous. And I believe that it's just so amazing that you're on the radio with me right now. We're having this conversation, and it's really happening. And it's just amazing. And this is a bigger ministry, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And you know, whenever you kind of unpack your life after something like that, I mean, you're just trying to be faithful and be a mom and be a wife and have a business and all that. And then something else comes in the, you know, down the pike like the show. I believe it's always helpful to see, well, what were the positive things that I've done that helped, because I want to do this more, and what are some of the painful things that came into play too? I've never seen anything significant, ministry wise, making money wise, finding God wise, relationship wise. Never seen anything where a person couldn't say, you know, here's the strength I bear, but also here's the brokenness I bear. And I think it's really helpful for anyone, whatever their struggle is, to go, you know, maybe the strengths I brought, maybe the reason I picked for this is because I'm faithful, or I'm reliable, or I'm trustworthy, or I'm vulnerable, or I'm smart, or whatever. I've got these gifts. But also because I understand pain, and I've been broken in other areas, and I can feel empathy for other things, or I learn from my mistakes. So there's always the positive and negative when we're trying to figure out, why did I get to where I got to?
And that's what I say, too, is that life's experiences, things that I've gone through, has caused me to be where I am today, as for everybody listening. You know, that creates who we are. And we have a decision in those things, don't we, as far as how we're going to relate to those situations, our belief process. You know, what do we believe? What are we coming away with? I have to reset again with, you're listening to KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. We're talking, our guest today is John Townsend, and it's just such a delight to have him with us today with his new book. And phone number, if you want to dial in, 866-995-5552. This is the Sue Freeze Show. And freeze is not spelt normal. It's spelt like fries, F-R-I-E-S, in case somebody's looking for that on my blog. I thought I would mention that. So, John, back to, what are some problems harder to solve than others?
Well, I think the toughest problems tend to be relationship problems.
Boy.
when I wrote the book, Now What Do I Do book, I researched problem solving to find out, you know, what's been done. And they do a lot of work in the social sciences, and they have some really good studies on, you know, financial problems, kind of life, you know, where do I go in life problems, career, what is my dream problems. And most of them have kind of a funnel where you start with a problem, and then you look at alternatives and solutions, and then you kind of make a commitment to one.
Hang on a second, John. We're gonna have to go to a break, so... Oh, okay. I'm sorry I had to cut you short, but he's like winding me up saying, we got to go to break. So we'll come back on the other end of the break and we'll continue with that. I'm really interested as far as what, and I agree with you about the relationships. So here we go.
The stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5, Intersection of Faith and Reason. Our guest today is John Townsend. And if you want to call in and talk to us, 866-995-5552. Again, 866-995-5552. So, John, I'm going to turn it over to you. You were talking about the problems that are hardest to solve, and it has to do with relationships. And if I could just interject, I would say that's because we can't change another person, huh?
It's got a lot to do with it.
Doggone it.
You know, I heard a statement once that said, when men and women fall in love and they get ready to get married, men expect, and they think it's realistic, that she'll never change. Women expect that he will change.
Oh, I get it.
And they're both sadly disappointed.
Yes. You know, that conversation about expectation, my daughter was talking to me about expectations and that we shouldn't expect. And I said, well, Jesus expects. Mm-hmm. You know, he expects. And we push our foot down on the pedal of our brakes, and we're expecting that brake to work.
Yeah.
So expectations are healthy as long as both parties understand what the expectations are. When you get married, you expect your spouse to be faithful. You expect certain things to happen.
Yeah, there are certain standards of behavior. I mean, the Bible says in Galatians 6, Paul says, you know, we reap what we sow. And so if you've got people who say nobody can put an expectation on me, what they're saying is, I can sow whatever I want. I can be cold or self-centered, or, you know, I can be irresponsible, and I don't have to reap any bad fruit from that. But the reality is, expectations say no. I mean, for us to enter a relationship and for me to trust you and open up to you, there've got to be some solid sorts of understandings between us. A lot of times when I'm doing, for example, marital counseling, and I'll find out that there's, you know, maybe a control problem, or one person doesn't open up emotionally problem, or they're very different in how they understand finances or whatever, we'll talk about expectations, and they'll say, well, we haven't done those before. And that in itself creates a really, really good framework to say, both of you guys need to step up to the plate and, you know, say, I will provide, you know, maybe I've been, for example, maybe I've been emotionally distant. So I will work on that expectation that I be there and be present and be open. The other person's expectation may be, you know, maybe I'm sort of unstructured and kind of spontaneous and I never get anything done, but I know that you like a certain amount of order. Well, the expectation will be that I'll become a more organized person. Those are really good ways for grown-ups to start healing relationship problems.
Boy, that is so healthy. But sometimes our emotions and our what about me kind of thing gets in the way, and we can't really just talk. It's like I feel that, you know, in the business world, you know, you identify the problem and you come up with your solutions.
Yeah, you have a strategic plan, and you see what it's going to cost you,
right.
And you put the people in the plan, and then you sort of make the plan, and you plan the work and work
and
the plan.
You work the plan.
And that's really how good business works.
Right. So why can't it be like that in relationships? Come on now.
Well, actually, I think that that's the way it is in relationships, too. It's just that all the subpoints underneath the plan are much more complicated.
I know. Well, you have to get buy-in, huh? That, you know, in workplace, you know, it's easy to get the buy-in. I mean, it's easier to get the buy-in. In relationships, you know, sometimes it's not so easy to get the buy-in. And then you might get the buy-in, and then there's no follow-through.
Yeah. I think one thing that happens, Sue, is in relationships, we don't start in the right place. Like, I'll be talking to sometimes a spouse who's, you know, I don't know, maybe they're disengaged or they're irresponsible or maybe they've got a drinking problem or whatever. And I'll say, what is your spouse? I mean, there's always kind of the presenting problem spouse and then the good spouse, you know.
Oh, of course.
I call it the saint sinner problem. And so the sinner, I'll say the sinner, okay, what has your saint spouse, your wife, your husband said to you? And they'll say, well, they tell me things like, you need to get your act together. You're not being a Christian. I need a more Christian spouse and all this. And I'll say, okay, well, how does that make you feel? And they'll say, like, I'm worthless. I feel like dirt. I feel like I have no value at all. I feel like a worm because they didn't start in the right place. Sometimes the saint spouse starts with the law. And nobody ever transformed a marriage or a relationship by starting with the law. You should start treating me better. Because should just never, you know, saved anybody. I mean, if should worked, then the Bible would have ended at Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments and it'd be a lot thinner book. should just doesn't transform people. So they say, well, then where should I start? So the saint spouse will say, well, what can I say then if I don't say you should, you know, stop drinking or be nicer to me? I say, start talking about your loneliness.
Wow, loneliness.
Talk about how you started your relationship off when you guys were in your 20s, and you had all these hopes and dreams and this killer, beautiful, handsome person, and how now that things have gone south, how isolated you feel and how vulnerable you feel and how all by yourself, and kind of say, I just want connection again. And the emotional impact of somebody being that vulnerable, saying, I just want us again, is so much more powerful than get your act together.
Right, and I want us again, but then how do we go about doing that? That's where having a counselor or, you know, somebody to help, you know, dissect what their real issues are. I mean, yes, both parties want to have it better, but I want it my way. No,
well,
I want
yeah,
it my
but,
way.
But Sue, don't skip over the I want us so quickly.
Okay.
Because sometimes that solves half the problem right there.
Right.
You got the spouse who's saying, look, you're nagging me and you're blaming me and you're talking about me, your friends, and you're making me not sound like a Christian and you want to do interventions on me, and all that's well and good. But there's a fundamental power to somebody saying, I miss what we used to have. That sometimes that, like the Titanic's getting ready to hit the iceberg and crash.
Right.
And sometimes at the last minute, it doesn't solve everything, but that Titanic will start changing slowly when that spouse goes, you don't see me as a worm. You really want me. I mean, you're lonely, and it brings out this feeling in them of kind of protectiveness,
right,
and tenderness, and it's sort of like when God talks about in Hebrew, in Hosea, in chapter 11, he says, How can I deal with you, Adma? He's talking about one of the tribes. He says, my heart is turned upside down because of you. In other words, I'm so upset and feel needy for you. And that turns that ship around in a spouse relationship or a dating relationship. And I have found that if you do that well and you stay in that space, then all of the now what are the steps, you've got to get a job, you've got to talk to me differently, you've got to be more open, those begin happening because the trajectory of the ship changed. Just like in business, I mean, you're a killer business person, you're a great business success, and you know when you're seeing trend lines, so you see things change. We're not there yet, but we've seen the ship start to change. The connection comes first, you're going to change that ship.
Yes. Hey, we have a caller. You want to take the caller? I think we should.
Well, yeah, they get a prize.
Okay, they get a prize. It's Carol from Canoga Park. Carol, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I can hardly hear you. John, can you hear Carol?
I can hear Carol fine.
Perfect.
Carol, welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, Sue, we got to give Carol something.
Okay, we will.
How about a copy of my new book?
Okay, perfect. Oh, thank you, John. That's so awesome. Well, there you go, Carol. So what's your question regarding mothers?
Actually, yeah, I'm glad you went back to the subject of mothers, actually. I'm just curious, John, what you think about the best way. I mean, I've been dealing with an estranged relationship for probably 25 or more years with my mother.
Mm.
And it has a lot of water under the bridge, and that'll take too long to explain it. But just to bring you up to date, you know, there are personal reasons and that with my stepfather as to why I have no relationship with him for the past 25 years. And she's still married to him, and I have never let my children go to see her at her house. She's come to my house. And especially when things like Mother's Day and holidays come around, it makes it very difficult to even choose a card, let alone, you know, be truthful in my wishing her well.
Carol, this is, like, really painful.
I've dealt with the pain. I'm actually okay with that, but it's just a struggle every time, because for my kids' sake, so that they have their grandmother, and they're, by the way, my kids are older. I'm almost 50. My children are 18 and 20, so they are aware of what's gone on in past history, and I made them aware of that about 2 years ago, so...
Then what would be unsafe about saying, and there are certain situations where I'll have a social relationship with my mom?
Because my stepdad molested me for 7 years.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
And I had to deal with that a long time ago from when I was
Has that been reported to the authorities?
You know, it happened when I was 7, and all the way till I was 14. I didn't seek counseling. Fortunately, I sought Christian counseling when I was 25. Mm. And at that point in time, the statute of limitations eliminated anything. It was just if anything got reported from that point forward, it was on file, but there was nothing to do that I could do about it at that point in time.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. And he has never repented, made amends, anything like that?
No.
Well, let's take your mom's, you know, let's call it enabling of this man out of the picture and just say, suppose she said to you, I want a relationship with you, but I still protect this man, or I'm in denial, that sort of thing about it. Is there a part of you that says I could have some relationship, or is another voice saying just the fact that you would prefer him over what he's done to me just says there's no relationship?
It's interesting. I was at that point probably 15 years ago or so, and then at one point I finally just gave everything over to God, and I do have a very strained but yet a relationship with her. And
has she ever admitted
I've
fault?
I've laid down the ground rules.
Has she ever admitted fault?
Yes, she has.
She
but
has?
She's never physically done anything about it, so she's still...
She's never, like, confronted him, but no. She has been empathetic towards your pain?
Empathetic towards my pain, never confronted him. She just goes on her merry way, and we just, you know, my kids don't even know where she lives. Let's put it that way.
All right. What would you need to see happen for you to want a face-to-face relationship?
He would have to be completely removed from the picture. Move away. He just can't be there. That would not be a good thing. I don't know what I would do if I saw him face-to-face.
No, I totally agree with you. And I would say that, he's got to be out of the picture. The Bible talks a lot about how you deal with evil. And what you do is you quarantine it. You get away from it. But what about some relationship with her where you guys meet in neutral zones? Your kids are old enough now to have restaurants or hotels or whatever.
Right, and you know what? And we've done that. Her health has dwindled in the past 3 years, where I actually haven't physically seen her in almost 2 years, because she's developed emphysema where she has to be on oxygen all the time, and she's too afraid to travel out here now because we live about an hour and a half apart from one another. And she's too afraid to travel on her own.
How do you feel about you and the kids going to visit her at a spot where he's not?
I feel fine with that, and we've tried to put that together, and she has not managed to do that recently.
Logistic problems or emotional problems?
She says it's logistic.
You don't believe it?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know how bad her health is at this point, honestly. But I, you know, and quite honestly, I'm actually not pushing the issue either because I'm very ambivalent by this point in time.
Okay, so tell me the question then.
My question is just, biblically, what do I need to make sure that I do? I just want to follow what God wants me to do.
There are three things I would tell you biblically. Forgive, heal, and make a return. You know, we all need to forgive those who have hurt us, and it sounds like you've done a lot of work in that process, and make sure you cancel the debt. Heal means whatever damage she caused by her passivity and her uninvolvement, whatever damage that he caused by that unspeakable stuff, that you make sure you've paid attention to that. It sounds like you've done that. And then Timothy tells us to make a return to our parents, meaning even if we have really, really psycho parents, that we still need to honor them. And so what I would do if I were you, I would redouble my efforts to make that hour and a half drive with the kids and say to her, I'd like to really spend some time with you because we have been estranged, and I want to be the bigger person, and I would make it happen.
Okay, fair enough.
The big thing, Carol, I would not do, and it may not even be need saying, but it's important for our listening audience as well as you, is that your mom is no longer a source of anything for you. She's not a source of, you know, grace, nor a source of, you know, of love or safety. That she kind of, until she ever changes her mind about what she's done, she can't be that. But sometimes, and it's very, very often in these adult child cases, our position with the parent is, I love her, but I don't need her. I love her, but I don't need her. And so if you can divorce yourself from any needs for her to be any kind of person of source of grace and love for you, you'll probably have a good relationship with her and her grandkids.
Okay. And I think I'm pretty much there, and so I will make more of an effort to get the visitation together.
I think it'll be on you. You sound like the most mature one, and I think it'll pay off for you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Carol.
Carol, thank you so much for calling John and I today. And stay on the line because we need to get your information so John can send you his book. And I can relate to what you're saying. I had a similar situation, and I can just say hang in there. And I'm glad you're getting the healing that you've needed and the advice I'm listening to, too. So glad you called in. And you are my first caller. So, wow, that's exciting.
Thanks a lot, Sue.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, John, so back to us. There is Stephanie on another line. I'm not going to put her on, but she just wants to wish her mother Happy Mother's Day. So I'm going to do that for you, Stephanie. Happy Mother's Day to Stephanie's mom and all those other moms out there.
Can we kind of do a little shout out to moms and thank them for what they've done in general?
Okay, you want to do it?
Yeah, I think that mothering, honestly, biblically and theologically, is the most important job in the universe. And then that subcategory, single moms, is not only the most important job, but single moms have the most important and the most difficult job in the universe. And so I kind of wanted to say, you know, because you guys do what you do, you hold the world together. Moms actually literally glue civilization together and families together and children's hearts together. And so many of you guys give up your own lives and your own livelihoods and your own dreams, or put them on the back burner, or wait for your careers, or don't date guys because you, or just kind of like put meaningful activities on hold for the sake of the kids. And it's all about such sacrifice. And thank you so much for what you do. We are all indebted to moms.
My mom's gone, John, and I can just tell you, I just feel her presence all the time.
What was her name?
Her name's Betty.
Tell us about Betty.
Oh, my gosh. She was just a wonderful woman. And now, you know, it's like, it's so funny because my daughter and I, with our conversations and everything, you know, sometimes we don't appreciate those people in our lives until they're gone. And there's something I always say is that my mom, you know, I'd call her up, I'd dial her, and I'd call her up and I'd say, Mom, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and she'd go, Susie, it's just a situation where, and I used to take my headset away from my ear,
and
I would mock
same word.
Her.
And you'd mouth the same word.
I would, it's just a situation where, you know, and now I would give anything to have her say that just one more time. And so she was a wonderful woman, but we
Tell us one character trait that changed your life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my mom, she just was always there for me, you know? No matter what happened, I knew I could depend on my mom being there. And there was one time she got really, really ill, and I was so afraid she was going to leave me. And I didn't know what I would do if she did, because she was a very strong, supportive force in my life. But she, you know, she divorced, and that was another story that I did on a show, you know, because my mom and dad got divorced after 20 years of marriage, and they had a very angry, kind of an ugly marriage, and, you know, I didn't want to have that kind of marriage, and so, and I didn't want to divorce because we have to break those curses. So with all that being said, I'm looking at my daughter now, and she's talking to me, and I'm saying, you know what, honey, there's going to come a time where, you know, you're going to just understand exactly. Mm-hmm. So you are listening to The Sue Free Show, and this is KKLA 99.5, and our special, special guest for me and for you is John Townsend today. And I have to keep saying that, so I hate it that I have to interrupt like that, John, but we just have to do that, I guess. So let me ask you, you know, there's people in my life that'll say things like this, you know, you can't go on your feelings, you can't rely on your feelings, you know, you have to make decisions and you have to just stay with what God says, and regardless of how your feelings are, you got to do this. And my feeling is our feelings are there for a reason. So do we listen to our feelings? How do we deal with these feelings? The feelings are there for a reason.
Yeah, I think those people are crazy, really, when they say that.
Phew, I feel so much better now.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, If the devil had created feelings, that'd be one thing, you know. But if God is emotional and he has his heart, and the Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit and all this sort of thing, where are all the feelings bashers? What are they about? I mean, basically, you don't have anything if you don't have in touch with, or you're not in touch with your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart. That's where your feelings are. We're supposed to guard them. So feelings give us incredible information. When you have a relationship problem or a financial problem or a health problem, whatever, The first thing I tell people to do, I do a lot of leadership consulting and coaching and that sort of thing. The first thing I train people to do is you'd better stop and get away and, you know, not only pray about it, but feel what you need to feel. Because your feelings are kind of that subjective avenue to reality that research and facts are the objective. Can I give an example of that? Sue?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I talk too long and you cut me off or something?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there.
Well, let me give an example of how this works. Am I still here?
You're still here, but we're almost done, and I'm so bummed that we're almost done.
Oh, okay. Really quick, if you're getting pressure from someone to sign on for something, a dating thing, a commitment thing, a money thing, anxiety tells you to wait. You better wait.
That's really good. My daughter's going through some anxiety right now, and that's what we're telling her, you know, just wait for the Lord.
Yep.
Right. Dawn, thank you so much. You're listening to 99.5 KKLA. Thank you so much, and we are forgiven. Thanks again, John.
Child, you're forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.